You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Daily Detroit Happy Hour Podcast.
And I gotta tell you, it feels nice. This is the first podcast of the year, hopefully the first of many, where we're recording outside al fresco. It is springtime in the D, as the kids like to say. Today we are taking a trip to Detroit. Trip with a capital T. We're talking with a couple of Airbnb hosts, a couple of different stripes here. One is a host of what they call Airbnb trips, again with the capital T, and another is a host of travelers who rents out rooms in his house. We're here today with Nelson Sharp. He runs one of the Airbnb trips. He's a head clothier at 1701 Bespoke, and he's the founder of The Scene, which is a Detroit-based fashion collective. And also joining us is Tommy Robbins, who goes under the host name Tommy on Airbnb. He rents out his home in the New Center. We're going to talk about various things, various aspects of hosting Airbnb visitors in the city of Detroit and some of the interesting things that they have been involved in or are involved in. And Nelson and Tommy, welcome to the Daily Detroit Happy Hour Podcast. Nice to have you on.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
So let me cue this up a little bit here. Airbnb,
which is based in San Francisco, wants to double its economic impact in Detroit to $20 million per year by launching a program called Trips. They're offering 23 experiences, of which Nelson's is one of them. They include treating visitors to historical sites in the city, significant LGBT sites in the city. You can spar at the Detroit Boxing Gym. We had them on a recent episode as well, Kali Sweeney. And lessons in night photography. Airbnb says it's already had a $10.5 million economic impact in Detroit for 2016, including $3.1 million to hosts. And it says the typical Detroit host earns almost $5,000 a year hosting on Airbnb. So we're going to talk with a couple of these hosts and find out what it's like to be involved with Airbnb and the gig economy here in Detroit. So let's get into it. Let me start with you, Tommy. How did you get involved with Airbnb? You're a former school teacher.
Yes. I had some conversations with my brother. He's from Chicago, and he told me about it. And
he was doing it there? Was he a host?
No, he wasn't.
There?
No, but it was I was in transition from my former job as a contract teacher at Detroit Public Schools. And I wasn't going to be making as much money as I was as a union teacher in the charter school field. So I said, yeah, I need something to fill the gaps. And my brother suggested this as a viable alternative for that. I took it up. And that's how I got started with it.
Okay. Nelson, how about you? How did you get involved in Airbnb and specifically in the Trips program?
Interesting story. Well, I was at my job the day that I met, I forget the initial guy's name, but my contact person initially, his name is Tommy Wong.
Okay.
So I work my daytime job, 1701 Bespoke. We do custom clothing and whatnot.
Yep.
There was a guy, I hate that I forget his name, but he called up to my job, and he was, one, in town for a wedding, in addition, essentially recruiting for Airbnb city host at the time.
Okay, for these experience, the
for
trips.
These, yeah.
Yeah.
But he was looking for a tie, and he just Googled, like, men's clothing stores, Detroit or whatnot, and we came up. So he called us. He's like, hey, I'm in town. I really needed like a shirt or a tie or something like that. We only do custom clothing, so we don't really have many accessories yet. But I said, hey, come up, you know, I'll help you out. Long story short, we started to conversate, and I'm like, hey, so what do you do? He's like, well, funny, I'm here for Airbnb. I work for Airbnb, and I'm here kind of recruiting for this Trips/city host. And he kind of was like, I started to ask him more about it. He was like, well, this is super fresh, and you know, I really can't share a lot with you, but let me show you this.
Okay.
So he showed me like it was like a mini like clip of what the trip would look like,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, wait, I think I could do this. So I started to tell him things I did outside of 17-1, like with the scene and whatnot. And to fast forward, he introduced me to Tommy, whose territory was pretty much like Detroit's territory.
Gotcha.
We met up later for dinner, and he kind of explained what this was more in depth. And, I ended up being the first guy in Detroit to do the city host thing. Mm-hmm.
So you're one of the 25 experiences in Detroit offered under the TRIPS mm-hmm. program. And I should point out to our listeners that Detroit was picked as one of the first of the 12 regions that they picked, 12 cities, I should say, to offer TRIPS. So Detroit's in the same category as like Paris, London, mm-hmm. Havana.
Crazy.
Which is fascinating to me. Tokyo and a bunch of other cities. Tell us about what your experience is.
Yeah. I want to add this so that my tagline is Nelson Sharp.
Yeah. Yes,
granted,
thank you.
My first name is Nelson Sanders, but.
But he is sharp. Let me tell our listeners.
I can roll with that.
He's
I
nice
like
navy
it.
Navy blue blazer with little.
I'm very preppy today. Yeah.
Yeah. And a kerchief. Like a
pocket square. Yeah. Paisley pocket square.
Yep.
Looks
nice.
What was your question? What is my trip? Like, what is it?
Yeah, tell us about your experience that you're offering.
Yeah, it was curated to be like a gentleman's like style guide through Detroit.
Okay.
But as I did a few of them, I realized it was more so like Detroit is unique. Like, unlike, let's say the obvious, like New York, where you can just hop out on the street and you have upteen shops.
New York is ubiquitous with the fashion scene.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Detroit, we're a little bit. As of right now, it's like we just look around, it's all this development, right?
Yep.
And shops popping up every other week. But anyway, I started to realize that my trip was more so just like a view of Detroit through Nelson's eyes. So I definitely wanted to make it a point to incorporate some of old Detroit, right, and incorporate it with new Detroit. So my trip has kind of started like this. Like, we meet up at Baker's Keyboard Lounge, which is the oldest running jazz club in the United States.
Yep.
And it's an authentic Detroit establishment. You know what I'm saying?
We recorded a couple podcasts recently with the good folks from the 8 Mile Boulevard Association, as well as a separate installment with the Chalkbeat Detroit people. Mm-hmm. And great club. Fantastic place.
And I mean, when I was growing up, my mom would take us there like after church, and I would see a lot of stylist guys in there, and I don't know. I just thought that kind of made sense for me to kind of take people there. Kind of an icebreaker. You get a big plate of soul food for $15. I mean, you get live entertainment. You can't really beat that. And so that's like the first day, and then which is at night. And then that next day, we meet up at 1701, and I kind of walk them through our whole fitting process. We kind of talk about fabrics, suiting construction, where we get our fabrics from. You know, everything we do. We have like kind of a dry bar there, maybe have a drink. And from there, we hop in an Uber. We head downtown because the shop is in Midtown. Shoot up Woodward downtown and check out all these new shops down here. You got Kitten Ace, Detroit's the New Black, Warby Parker, Bonobos, No-Jo Kicks and things like that. And we end up at Detroit Denim. A lot of people really like Detroit Denim because it's kind of cool. They make the denim there, and Eric and Brenda there are really cool, and they kind of walking through the process of how that looks, of getting a pair of jeans. And then we stop, and we reconvene later that night. We meet up at the Sugar House. Sugar House is a, you know.
Craft cocktails.
Craft cocktails.
Tasty drinks.
You know what I'm saying? Different environment than Baker's, right? And if there's any, like, fashion-oriented event going on, we'll stop by there. It's whatever the person wants to do.
Yeah.
Like, if they're like, hey, you know, I'm into, I don't know, man, dancing. I don't know. I go to a nice place where people, you know, it just depends on what the person
So you're flexible. You'll
super flexible. I just want them to have a good time.
You'll adjust the itinerary.
As, definitely.
Yeah, of course. That's great.
Yeah. So.
But it, and then when it works, it's like a extra charge on top of. Are you also a host too, or no? Like
home host?
Yeah.
No.
You're not. Okay. So you're just strictly kind of like a tour guide, basically.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly. And we usually my trip ends on a Sunday, and my Sunday night spot is Motor City Wine.
Okay.
There's usually a good DJ there and good vibes and.
Very cool.
Most people I've taken out really like Motor City Wine as
gotcha.
Well. So yeah.
All right. So Tommy, you are strictly a host. You don't do one of the tours and everything. But you talked about how you got involved in the toast. So how long ago was it that you started, you know, hosting as a guest?
A little over 2 years ago.
Okay. And how's that going for you? Like,
it's going pretty good. I heard you make that. They gave the statistic of it. The average is 5,000
yeah.
a year.
Does that sound right?
For me, I made 20 last year.
Wow.
So I was pleasant. I like to hear that. You know, I was like, okay, I'm at the higher end of it. It's good.
And you have your home is in the New Center area near Henry Ford Hospital. And I believe you rent out several bedrooms in your house, right?
Yes, three bedrooms.
Like you have a pretty big house.
Yes. And okay. I live in it. It's a two-story flat. I live in an upstairs flat. And I rent out the three rooms in the downstairs.
That works out nicely. Yeah. So where are these guests coming from? Like, what's the typical guest look like, or where are they from, or whatever? I mean, does it vary?
They come from all over. I just had my first Kazakhstan couple. It was actually
wow.
it was a couple and their small child. And they stayed for a while. And
they were just...
He was there for a job.
Okay.
He was and that's the thing. Where's my house is positioned?
Yeah.
Near the hospital, you get a lot of people coming in for internships, residencies, you know, observations, whatever. They come and they stay at my residence, and then
because it's nice and close to work and everything.
Yeah, and about 40 to 50, sometimes 60% of the people is a little less are foreigners. They're mm-hmm. from Canada, Western Europe. Since Trump got in, and even a little before that, they started to fall off a little bit. I don't know if people are reticent to come to our country because of where our politics is going, but I'm getting more U.S. people now.
Okay, but has the volume dropped off at all along with that, or a little
just
bit?
Just a smidgen. It's fallen off maybe 5 to 10%.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And now you also understand drive for Lyft.
Yes, sir.
For the ride-sharing service Lyft. So you're like the personification of the gig economy guy. Like,
yeah.
You drive for Lyft and you host for Airbnb.
Right.
And which is interesting because you came from Detroit Public Schools, and I mean I mentioned that we talked with Chalkbeat Detroit, which is, you know, the news organization that's writing about what's going on in schools in Detroit.
Well, you know, there was a long smear campaign against Detroit through the 70s, 80s. About how horrible it was here. Actually, it was a working man's paradise.
Yeah.
This whole region, man. You know, you had people, tool and die makers and stuff making $30, $35 an hour. You know, tradesmen and teachers. Everybody was making a good living, a really good living
right.
in this town. And we all know, or we should know about how jobs were shipped overseas, tax base left. Also, you had the white flight, the exodus from this city. So when you got partners building a city, as everybody was, you had white, black, everybody building this city. They get done building the pyramids, and then half of the people that worked on the pyramids left.
Yeah.
So there's a long decline. So so the gig economy is like a backfill.
Mm-hmm.
To deal with the lack of union jobs,
yeah.
or the lack of
and you were in a union
job.
Before, I think
I
heard
you
mention.
I was in a union,
yeah.
And we were under attack every year I was there.
Yeah.
To the extent that for the last 10 years I was working there, my salary went down every year.
Yeah. And you worked, as you said, you taught at a lot of different schools across in Detroit Public Schools.
Yes, sir.
The district formerly known as Detroit Public Schools.
Right. Yes. Pershing, Cody, Western. A few others.
And then I think you said you substitute taught for
yeah,
a time, right?
For a time in the private, public-private partnerships. The
charters.
So-called charters.
Yeah. And how was that compared to teaching in the actual public schools?
Well, it was the indignities kind of increased
What do you mean by that?
Well, you had no recourse if you didn't like working conditions.
Okay.
If a student threatened to kill you or something, you could go through your union. But, back when I was a contract teacher.
Sure.
You had no such recourse in the charter school system. You're an at-will employee.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw, and as well, you got paid about a third less than a public school employee.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw there were people struggling to make ends meet as contract teachers. I remember I was working at a charter school where people were working there for 6 months and they didn't have any insurance yet.
Mm.
I think it was at Waterford Academy. I think it was way out in Pontiac.
Okay.
And it was in their 6 months of the year, and none of them had health insurance yet.
Yeah.
It's just run all kinds of, people just mistreated. And then the children, because it's for profit, all the money they used to have, if it's a public institution, all the money has to be spent on the children, right?
Okay.
But if it's for private, it gets stuck in the pocket.
Yeah.
And you just do the bare minimum,
right,
to say that, we tried to do the job.
Yeah. So that was not to your liking, clearly, and you kind of went looking for something else.
Yeah. Lyft is, it's good. Most of the people are respectful and intelligent people. And in those rare instances where someone is having a bad day, what have you, it's a 20-minute drive and they're gone,
Yeah.
On to the next one.
Got it. You're dialed into the Daily Detroit Happy Hour podcast. We're here at Queen's Bar. We're outside because it's springtime and we can. And so some of the background noises you hear instead of the music playing in the bar are the People Mover, which is right overhead here, and, of course, traffic. We're also talking with Nelson. I'm sorry, what was your...
Sanders.
Sanders.
We can go with Nelson Sharp. I just...
Also, better known on Airbnb as Nelson Sharp. And Tommy Robbins, who's a host on Airbnb.
Yeah.
So Nelson, Tommy told us who, he's getting people from all over the world.
Right.
Who's signing up for these trips, to learn about the Detroit fashion scene?
Initially, I had a few people who I met. So Airbnb was kind enough to fly a handful of people out to L.A., for what they called Airbnb Open, where it was the launch of this platform.
Okay.
So people from all around the world who are going to do what I'm doing now, met up LA. They kind of blocked off a six block radius in downtown LA, where we had different kind of workshops throughout the day, and then at night, honestly, we were kind of just partying. But.
As you do when you travel,
right.
Especially on somebody else's dime.
It was crazy. They treated us so nice, man.
That's great.
Put us in the nicest Airbnbs that, I've never been in, a L.A. house up in the hills. That was just, a really cool experience. But anyway, my first couple people that I did this with, I met out there. So they were natives of Los Angeles, and they'd never been to Detroit.
Yeah.
And I was nervous going into this because Detroit is so different than probably stuff they were used to.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it was I hope these people have fun here. But they were just excited to be here.
Yeah, that's
when
great.
They got here.
That's great.
It was like, dude, I'm down to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Just take me. But most people want that real authentic experience. They don't want to go to I'm not going to say any business or anything, but your cookie cutter, known places.
Well, people that are signing up with you are not here to go, see the Tigers game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They want the real native Detroit experience.
That's cool. And there's demand for it based on what you're seeing, basically.
100%.
Yeah.
As
the People Mover goes by.
Yeah, right. Most people have been from the West Coast. I recently just took a young lady out that was from London.
Cool.
That was pretty cool.
London,
England.
Yeah.
And it was half the time I was trying to understand what she was saying, but I knew she was having a great time.
Uh-huh. What do you find that, people who come to you, what's their experience or impression of Detroit before they get here?
Right.
Does it change?
Throughout
when they come?
It would probably be what most people expect if you've never been for here. Been here, rather.
Like, they're a little bit nervous to come because they've heard all the negative things, kind of.
I don't think they're nervous to come here. They're just like, this is not, like, from what they've read or heard, they're like, this is not like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So they're pleasantly surprised.
They're surprised, like, man, this place is really cool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Granted, Detroit is huge.
Of course.
The places we're going to outside of Baker's are in these areas that are being developed. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of cool things going on here. Mm-hmm. Like, if we go deep west or deep east, which I try, I want to, I'd be willing to take anyone anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to take someone anywhere purposely less dangerous, but this is like any other city. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you go to Chicago, you know, you go to South Side of Chicago.
Yeah,
you know,
you're going to a city, and you got to account for the fact that anything can happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we're usually doing the cool stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And but I try to give them a little taste of Detroit before, all of this cool stuff started happening. Granted, there was cool stuff happening before, but it was just a different type of cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I know I'm going off track here, but
no, that's all right. That's like the motto of our podcast: going off track.
You know? Okay.
I mean, really,
I'm with it.
So, Tommy, I mean, what about you? I mean, you're not hosting a trips program, you know, the experience necessarily, but I'm sure you get a lot of your guests ask you, "Hey, what should we do? Where should we go? Where should we go to dinner? What should we do tonight?" What do you tell them?
Yeah, yeah, I tell them. I size them up what I think they want. A lot of them, they want. A lot of people that do Airbnb, they're already cosmopolitan type people.
Okay.
So they want a varied experience. They don't want to just do the same old stuff. So I sent him off to, like, this one guy, I sent him to a blues bar. He was from Canada. And it was over on, I want to say Shane and 90, Shane and 94.
Wow, you sent him to the ghetto, yeah.
Yeah. It more than a ghetto. It was like to the bottom. It was like the only building on the block.
I know the area, yes.
Yeah. So
that's a hell of a place to
Raven.
Send a newcomer.
94 and Shane.
It was on Shane and Shane. It's called The Raven.
Oh, The Raven. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
And
okay. I've never been to The Raven.
And me neither. I say, but I heard about it. I heard about it, and I said, let me, I heard it was great, and I'll send him out. You know, he could tell me what it's about. And when he came back, man, he couldn't stop singing his praises. He had a ball.
Nice.
He had a ball.
Nice.
And
that's great.
But that goes to something when you're talking about the people who are concerned about, you know, safety issues or what have you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to hold back, like the Europeans, about they're so exuberant, and they look so, they're not affected by a lot of what Americans are affected by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so.
For better or worse, right?
Yeah, for better or for worse. So a lot of it's better as far as their interactions with me, for instance.
Yeah.
You know? They're not, for instance, surprised to see me open the door for them. I've had a few people say, you own this place? can I speak to the owner?
Oh, man.
But that doesn't happen with the Europeans. It never has happened with most of the people from around the world.
Yeah.
It's just people from 90% of the Midwesterners, Eastern, West Coasters in the United States. 90% of them, 90% of them are very cool folk, and they don't come with any preconceived notions.
Right. So it's not a lot. You're not seeing a lot of people who are totally naive about Detroit, or
just prejudice. I don't see that many people who are prejudiced against it, because some people, they come and they kind of want to be able to report back that it is exactly what it was described as. You know, but most people, they come and they're looking for the best of here, and they get it.
Yeah,
they want to see what Detroit is about. Yeah, they're just super curious, man.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool. So we talked about Tommy's experience a little bit, you know, teaching in the public and charter schools, mm-hmm. Here in Detroit and around the region. Tell us about the Detroit fashion scene, man. I mean, you know, I'm totally aware that it exists. We've got new boutiques lining Woodward Avenue, which is where one of your stores is. You've also got a store in Birmingham, right?
Yep, yep.
But, you know, you think about Detroit and you think kind of blue collar. I mean, I go around town and I see... You know, I gotta say, I see a lot of, like, adults who are wearing you know, baggy basketball shorts mm-hmm. that go down past their knees. Mm-hmm. And I mean, mm-hmm. they look like slobs sometimes, man. Like, so tell us about, I mean, what, give us your take on Detroit
yeah.
fashion.
I mean,
maybe that's a loaded question the way I phrased that up, but you know.
A little bit, but I think I can answer it. So with Detroit kind of becoming a city again, right?
Yep.
City and fashion to me kind of go hand in hand.
Yes.
So within the past couple years, I've noticed that individuals are becoming a bit more comfortable expressing themselves that way.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would say early 2000s, you know, Detroit is kind of more like sports town. You see people walking around downtown only if there's a Tigers game, Red Wings or something going on, and yep. they're in that attire. You know what I mean? Outside of that, it was not a lot of fashion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. People would wear certain things because they had to. But, I mean, but I think Detroit has always had a style. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To me, growing up, it was either...
You're from Detroit.
Yeah. Yep. Born and raised Detroit. Detroit King High School.
Okay.
Wayne State. I would see kind of like a how can I put this? Like in my high school, it was a fashion show. You know what I mean? But it was in a different realm, like an urban way. So, I mean, certain things were staples.
All right. So when did you graduate high school?
2003.
Oh man, I'm so much older than you.
Yeah.
All right. So what were the like? What was the look then?
I was more in athletics.
Okay.
When I was that age,
uh-huh.
I played basketball and football. But the popular, the cool kids who were styling out were wearing things like, you know, designer jeans in high school, Gucci loafers, Prada gym shoes. You know, we had the Gucci sweaters. You know, the Cartier glasses was always a thing.
Yeah, sure.
Which sucks. People getting killed over those glasses.
Yep. Well, back when I was in high school, it was like Air Jordans.
Yeah, Jordans.
Yeah.
That was all high school. Jordans or some cool Nikes or a high-end designer shoe. A big thing was the leather Pelly Pelly jackets or the Al Wassam jackets.
Yeah.
And that was a look, right? Or
yeah.
the older cats were wearing like, you know, you see cats wearing walking around downtown right now. The super loud, bold, old school, like Steve Harvey style suits.
Okay.
That is Detroit, though.
Yeah,
you know, the pink, orange, lime green.
Yeah, royal blue suit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You go in Henry the Hatter, you see pictures of him in there. You know what I'm saying? But that is a Detroit thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Granted, it's not my aesthetic.
But it's a Detroit, it's a genuine Detroit look.
Yeah, nowadays, you know, to fast forward a little bit, we see a more like... I don't know, any way to say it, like...
A little bit more cosmopolitan, maybe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you might see someone walking around that may be from here, but don't even look like they're from here.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, what you want to add?
Yeah, just one thing. Some of the, like, what you describe as the bummy clothes, it might be more of a function of economics than style.
Yeah.
Because I think,
true.
I think, yeah.
That's true.
Because I'm thinking back when you... Back
I
when
didn't
you,
say bummy, but...
Yeah. No, he said bummy.
Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't say
like
bummy.
That.
I said slobs.
Yeah, slobs.
Yeah. Kind of judgmental on my part, I admit.
No, it's okay. We all do it. But it's like when you're going to school, when you're in high school,
yeah.
Detroit wasn't really completely busted then. We 2008 didn't happen yet.
Right.
That's true.
And that
was like the Kwame Kilpatrick era. I mean, there was like a, not like it is now, but there was thought to be a little, you know, the city was kind of on the comeback.
That's when it started coming.
Yeah,
that's when, you know, a lot of the stuff he put in motion or happened that started when he was in there came to fruition afterwards. And unfortunately, he couldn't run his.
I'll give Kwame some credit for helping start it, at least, you know. I mean, it probably started back in Archer, but whatever. That's
another
topic.
Yeah. It's like. Though I think it's a function of economics. There's a lot of people around in this town who are still impoverished.
That's going to piggyback me on my next topic.
They're impoverished. It was like 40, you know, even a country, I think, something like close to 50%, between 40 and 50% of the United States is qualifies as being impoverished.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a long decline that where Detroit is not just, it's not just Detroit.
Yeah.
That's suffering.
And
sometimes it does get expressed in the way people carry themselves, the way they what clothes they wear all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nelson.
So I agree with Tommy in that regard. Detroit is a resourceful city as well. So just using New York as an example, we don't have that access, right? Where we can just hop out any shop you see online, you can literally walk into the physical store.
Yeah. And we don't have Fashion Institute of Technology.
At least not yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So with that comes a little bit of you have to have some type of creativity or ability to put things together.
Yeah.
In a way where a lot of people thrift, right, buy secondhand clothing, and they mix it in with their, like, they might shoot out to Somerset and get a couple pieces or something, or from some shops around here.
Yep.
And mix it in with a more modern piece, you know what I'm saying? So I think even within that, that breeds a cooler look in general.
Okay.
You're not shopping off of a mannequin, you know what I'm saying?
It's a little bit more resourceful and
yeah,
and
a little bit more genuine too, you know what I mean? So I think that Detroiters figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
So that's why we're cool, man. You know what I'm saying? It's just not like we're the underdog. I mean, I know that's like very cliche to say, but it's true in a lot of different ways. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You give us a white shirt and we cut it up and put some color in. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what we do. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So we've covered fashion. We've covered the state of education a little bit and what it's like to work in education in Detroit. Let's go back
to... As a horse just walks up behind us.
Yeah, we got a
police on a horse.
Police officer on horseback behind us.
I'm with it.
This is like authentic audio brought to you by the Daily Detroit Happy Hour podcast.
Yeah.
So let's kind of close out going back to the Airbnb experience and everything. I mean, just curious if either of you you've been doing this for a while. Nelson, how long have you been doing the trips?
Man.
More than a year?
It's been What was it? November?
Okay, so pretty recently, yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long.
Okay. So either have you learned any, you know, hard knocks type lessons, things, you know, if anybody out there is listening is thinking about putting up their properties or trying
you
to
can speak on properties.
Pitch a trip to Airbnb, like any lessons you've learned along the way?
With long-term people, if they're couples, if they...
it sounds like you get a lot of long-term people because of Henry Ford and stuff.
Yeah, but this couple... was having some marital issues. They were married. And I would recommend that no one...
And away from home, yeah.
Yeah, and away from home. And they're from France and some African country. I can't remember which one. But they don't try to just either get them out of your house. Wow. So stay out of it because I made a mistake of trying to arbitrate. Between them and just to keep things calm and, you know, so they can just finish out the stay. No, it's better to just let it
run its course, huh?
Yeah.
And not try to kick them out or anything?
Only intervene insofar as do not damage anything and don't get, don't do any violence and don't cause a scene where I'll have to put you out.
But that's got to be tough when you got somebody staying in your house and they're screaming and yelling at each other and
right
stomping on the floors or whatever.
And you don't all the only thing you should be worried about as the host is to get them to stop. If they can't stop, if they can't rectify reconcile between themselves, don't get in it at all. Just say you guys either figure it out or get out.
All right, well, we will leave it there. We've been talking with Nelson Sharp. That's his name on Airbnb, also known as Nelson.
Sanders.
And Tommy Robbins. He goes by Tommy on Airbnb. He's a host. And Nelson and Tommy, thanks so much for stopping by the podcast.
Thank you
nice
for having us, man.
You're welcome.
All right, that's going to do it for us today on the Daily Detroit Happy Hour podcast. As always, we want to thank Queens Bar for hosting us, the good folks over at Podcast Detroit for everything they do for us. Don't forget to share our podcast and leave us a review whether you love us or hate us. And don't forget to check out DailyDetroit.com for more great up-to-the-minute content. Until next time, be well, do good work, and take care of one another.
Perfect. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.